All right. I want to welcome everyone today on this September 3rd, 2023. And we are in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. And the title of today's message is A Continual Living Sacrifice. And I've got to begin with some sad words, sad for us, because the people that listen to this website hear me pretty regularly speak to Lehman from the pulpit. And I'll say, Brother Lehman, you know, and there have been folks that have texted me and have said, I'm going to come to Waynesboro one day and I want to meet this Brother Lehman that you talk to from the pulpit. And this morning, rather unexpectedly, Lehman went home to be with Jesus. And so I want everyone to know that listens on the website to pray for his wife Margie and his children. He went home in his sleep, and we want to praise God for that. Had a great day yesterday. Margie fried him up fish, and they had a big dinner, and they were on the front porch in the swing, and kids came by and talked to him, and he was working Margie's legs out to get her to do leg lifts, and wanted her to get to walking better so they could walk together. And he practiced one of his songs. He was going to do a song here that I had not heard him do. And so we want to praise the Lord that he went out praising Jesus, went out enjoying his family, went out having a good day. He got out of the hospital Friday, and the diagnosis is pretty much congestive heart failure. And, you know, you never know. Sometimes you go good ways with that, and sometimes you don't. But God's grace is sufficient. And so this is the scripture I was going to use. And so I'm going to use it. And but I'm not going to teach you the doctrinal transition today. I'm going to make it personal. But it's a huge transition that Paul, who I believe wrote Hebrews, is trying to express to the Hebrews. And he says this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then he goes on to say in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's audible praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you today, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you forgive me a daily sin, weekly sin that I confess unto you. And I pray to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your spirit to share your truth. And Father, we got a chair in this building that our brother Lehman's not sitting in this morning. But he has had a bold entrance into heaven. As Peter said, granted unto him for his faith and his walk with you. So, Lord Jesus, we pray comfort for his family and for all of us. So much a part of this ministry, so much a part of day one in this ministry many years ago. And Father, I want to thank you that our assembly here and your assembly there, the saints that have gone on before us, we are united by you. And Father, we too are pilgrims, as the Hebrew writer says, passing through here to that heavenly city with a heavenly calling. All that heavenly you got in the book of Hebrews. And we want to thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Now in Hebrews 13, he says to offer up a sacrifice of praise continually by him, by Christ, who indwells us. And the continually means the lifestyle that we're to live unto Jesus. So go with me to Romans chapter 12. I'll tie this into some more of Paul's writings. And in Romans chapter 12, he says this, verse 1. Now I'll wait for you to get there. And in Romans 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So what is Paul saying in these two verses? Well, the Hebrews understood what sacrifice was all about. And they understood you took a lamb or a goat and you went to the temple and you went to the building and you got a priest and the priest went through the rites and went through the rituals and you had the Sabbath day and the holy days and you had the morning prayer at the temple and the evening prayer at the temple and you had all of these rituals going on and Paul is transitioning them from the religious rituals of the Jewish religion into the new covenant, which means our lives are offered continually as a sacrifice unto Jesus. And you know, we talk about the Sabbath day mentality that the nation of Israel had. You know, we can kind of apply that to the Sunday morning mentality that all the Protestants and Catholics have. You know, where you go to church, you fulfill your obligation, you do your 1 hour, you do God a favor. And I can remember Lehman telling me time and time and time again, he'd say, Brother Leo, you know, I thought you had to be in a church house to get saved. He said, when I grew up, I thought you had to go to church to get saved. And he said, I didn't think you could get saved till the man finished preaching and they had the altar call and you had to come up to the altar to get saved. He said, man, I got saved in the vestibule of Green River Baptist Church. I got saved way before the service ended, before the service even started. And, you know, he took that with him his entire life. He believed in allowing his life to be a living sacrifice unto God. And if there was ever anybody that wanted to praise Jesus, the sacrifice of his lips. I was reading one author this past week who said, you know, God's the one that's given us an audible voice. God's the one that has given us the ability to speak. And there are people, and you may work with them, they may be in your family, etc., etc., and you hear them talk about everything under the world. Politics, sports, business, money, all these things. And you don't ever hear them say anything about Jesus. You don't ever hear them offering up a Thanksgiving praise about Jesus. You may have friends when y'all have conversations. Jesus never comes up. You know, people say all the time, well, we don't talk about religion and politics. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the one who saved you. You could not have a conversation with Lee McQuillan and not hear about Jesus. And I praise God for that. You know, I mean, this is his scripture. I'll use it again this week. You know, when we do his service, he was one who was always speaking about the Lord, what the Lord did for him, giving his testimony. And then in these last 10, 12, whatever years, he wanted to sing for Jesus. And he'd love the words of the songs, and he wanted people to hear the words of the songs. And he was never ashamed of his Lord. And we were talking in the hospital not this past week, but the week before, And we were talking about the ministry and being in the armory building. He told Coach Sisk about how we lifted up the door in the armory building. And then we talked about the work that went into this building we're in now. And I said, you know, Lehman, we ought to just have a praise service where people talk about how God's blessed them and those kind of things. And Patty, you were there. Oh yeah, Brother Leo, let's do that. And he's praising the Lord in heaven, and I'm going to praise him right here. But his sacrifice of praise was continual before the Lord. And Paul drove this home. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He's talking about not offering a sacrifice of a lamb or a goat or a dove. And then when he's talking about the temple, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. He says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" Your bodies are the members of Christ. Verse 19. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" You know, and so the transition goes from the buildings made with hands to us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. He had shared with me many years ago about a fellow he was talking to, and I think they were out on his farm or somewhere. And he told him, he said, "Hey man, if you want to be saved, you can be saved right here. You can ask Jesus to come into your heart right here." And you know, he lived that and lived that ever since he got saved. And he was in his 50s when he got saved. And I believe that Lehman, as Martha Jo said earlier this morning, you know, that Lehman was always, on hyperspeed. And I think in a lot of ways he was trying to make up for lost time. You know, he'd not been saved as a young person. And so once he got saved, and he'd tell me, he said, "You know, Brother Leo, I wasted all those years." And then he'd say, "I was living for the devil." And that's true. If you're not living for God, you're living for the devil. You might think you're living for yourself, but you're not. And so he always, always made these points. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let me share that. You know, offer the sacrifice of praise continually. You know, a lot of people think that the Christian life is something you do on Sunday morning. And that's just not true. People think their Christian life is centered around the activities they participate in a church or in an organized religion. That's just not biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, he says this, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." You know, it's our goal that people are to see the life of Jesus in our lives on a daily basis. You know, in our homes, with our families, with our friends, at school, you know, in our occupations, in our jobs. And Lehman lived that out. You know, Lehman sold all those cars all those years. Once he got saved, that became a ministry. When he'd go to buy cars, he was telling people about Jesus. When people came up to buy cars from him, he was telling people about Jesus. And it just overflowed out of him. He was singing in the hospital, you know, in the room, singing with the girl Sherry that was doing the physical therapy. And he had a doctor that came in the hospital at Murray, who was, you know, one of the weekend doctors, and he had some doom and gloom words for Lehman early on a Sunday morning. I called right after he left, and Terry, I called Terry. I knew he was up there with his dad, and Terry said, "Boy, Daddy just got upset. He said this doctor came in and was telling him all this and that, and things didn't look good and all that." And he said, "Daddy put his finger right up toward that doctor, because it wasn't Lehman's regular doctor." And he said, "Let me tell you one thing. I will go. I will die when it's time for Jesus to call me home, and not 1 minute sooner or 1 minute late." And you know, that's the truth. in the hands of God are the issues of life and death. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And look, you're familiar with this scripture. And this is Laman. You know, it's just wonderful to be, and these were in my outline for today on being a living sacrifice unto God. But this was the attitude, this was Paul's in Philippians 1 verse 21. He says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I mean, how appropriate is that? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, we're in there this morning, everybody's crying, and somebody said, yeah, you know what, will Lehman be looking down saying, "What are y'all crying about? You know, I'm with Jesus. I have entered in." And you know, he had one of those episodes a while back, and he told me, yeah, he couldn't breathe, and he had that sharp pain, and it, you know, it's frightening. I've never been there, but I can imagine. I saw my dad go through some of that. And he said, "Man, I cried out to Jesus." And I said, "Jesus, take me home. I can't take this pain. And I can't live not breathing. You know, Jesus, take me home. Take me home." And God got him through that. They actually had portable oxygen that they got him to the ER with. But he was ready to go. And you know, for him to live is Christ. It's about Christ. You know, I was looking around that house today, and you know, all the little plaques that talk about Jesus, everything that meant for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, and all these things. And, you know, and what a friend we have in Laman and his prayers for us. He believed in prayer. And he said, you know, I think I spoke with, I can't remember who I spoke with this morning, but Lehman's been praying regularly for Miss Jane and all she's going through. And when she was here last and Lehman was here, he walked over to speak to her. And I'm sitting here thinking, now Lehman's in heaven and Miss Jane's still with us. You know, you just don't know. You know, people think they know. And I don't know when we're going to figure out we don't know. I mean, we see example after example after example that we don't know. But praise God for His faithfulness in praying and in praying for others. Let me show you another one. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And this is in the outline. And this is Laman. Colossians chapter 3 verse 14. It says, "Above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And then it says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. With psalms and hymns and spirits. And then verse 17. Here's a living sacrifice. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you say, whatever you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." That's how we're to live. That's a living sacrifice. You know, Lehman used to tell me all the time, "Bro Leo, I've got to sing because I've got to do it unto the Lord. I'm going to say a word of testimony because I'm going to do it for the Lord." And I appreciate, he was so grateful God never gave up on him. So grateful that God never gave up on him. Let me show you another one. Go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter. Peter was trying to get the message across also. And you know, the crazy thing, you know, I study the Mosaic religion. And it didn't take us long to get right back into a lot of people worship the buildings. They think everything has to be done in the building. A lot of people worship whatever name is there on the front of the building, you know, whatever label it has on the building. And you know, we get right back into it. But in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, he says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." You know, all of us together are spiritual bricks in the spiritual house of God. And he says this, that you are a holy priesthood. We're all priests. Everybody's a priest. We all have access unto God through the blood of Jesus. Outside the camp, within the veil. That's another way Newell and Andrew Murray could have titled their book. He was sacrificed outside the camp to bring us within the veil. And I've got a message on that, good Lord willing. You know, I'll teach it one day either here or I'll live it one day in heaven. But look at what he says. He says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. By Him. If you don't have the indwelling of Christ in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you can't offer up a spiritual sacrifice unto God. It's all about your relationship with Christ. And everything that outflows from that inward relationship with Christ, as you do it unto God, you are a living sacrifice. You're not a school teacher, you're a Christian school teacher. You're not a factory worker, you're a Christian factory worker. Yeah, you're not a mom, you're a Christian mom. You know, every role we're in is to be an outflow of ministry. You're not an athlete, you're a Christian athlete. And so all these verses tie together this transition from the brick and mortar, from the temple in Jerusalem, from the lambs and the goats, from the Levitical priesthood, from the professional clergy, from the label on the church or the building, to living our lives out in Christ. So I was driving over from Lehman's home, which is only a few minutes from here. This scripture came to my mind, and I'm going to close out with this today, and then we're going to sing Victory in Jesus, because we're just going to sing a song to honor Lehman. And it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And it says this, "And beside this, give all diligence, and add to your faith virtue," and several other things. Lehman always told me, he said, you know, he said, when I got saved, he said, I thought that was it. He said, I was saved. I'm going to go sit in the church. I'm going to hear Brother Leo preach. And I'm going to go home and eat dinner. He said, that's how I thought it was. He said, but boy, was I wrong. Because that's not how it is. You add to your faith. And God wants to use you. And many a time, he stood in this pulpit and he preached a sermon when I was going. And at the little church down here in the county, Lehman would get up and preach those sermons, and then he went all over sharing a word of testimony about Jesus. And he'd share it, you know, from the Bible, and he was preaching somewhere, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago, and he knew he was doing a homecoming service, and I had done a message, and he had taken notes. He goes, and he called me that Monday morning. I'm going to use a lot of those scriptures. And so Laman knew that God saves you to use you to glorify himself and bring others. And so you add these things. And in verse 10 he says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Now, you're not making your calling and election sure to God, because God knows. God knows the heart. God knows whether you're saved or not. God knows whether the Holy Spirit's in your heart. And I'll speak to that in a moment, because I know Lehman would want this said. You want to make it sure to yourself, because the devil attacks you with doubts and lies. Oh, you never got saved. But when you're growing in Christ, you know it's the Holy Spirit growing you in Christ. So he can't attack you with that. And then he says this, you want to make all this sure, and you want to add all this. Verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." An abundant entrance. See, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose reward. Or not have reward. And Laman understood, out of a sense of gratitude, how much God had done for him. And so, I would definitely be remiss, because as I teach Christians, and my heart is to teach Christians the Word, Laman was an evangelist. He wanted everybody to be saved. We said that this morning. Cleo was at the house this morning. He came over and sat down by me, and I said, "Man, after Lehman got saved, the first thing he said, we got to get Cleo saved." I said, "He sure wanted you to get saved." And somebody heard me say that, and they said, "Man, Lehman wanted everybody to get saved." He did. And so, if he were here right now, he'd be saying to you, he would say, "You know, I know what it is to live without Jesus and live for yourself and live for the devil. And I know," and he can give you the day and the time, "when Jesus Christ came into my heart," and Laman says, "he took it all away." And he'd do that. He took it all away. And what he means is he took all the guilt, all the condemnation, all the eternal destiny of judgment, he took it all away. And man, the blood of Jesus saved me. That's what he'd be saying. And he would say very boldly, there's got to be a time in your life where you know you asked Jesus to save you and come into your life. And you got to be able to go back to that. Now, I can't go back to the day and the hour, but I can go back to the season when I came under conviction and responded. There are a lot of people that come under conviction, but they never respond. They never give their life over to the authority of God. They believe he died on the cross. They believe everything that Lehman would be telling them right now, but they've never made that commitment unto Jesus Christ. Because, you know, you just kind of want to skate along, and, you know, it might be because of your family or your work environment or something else you want to hold on to. You just, you know, you hadn't done it. And I'm saying it for all you folks that listen on the website. And the important thing is that you come to that place where you can say with Lehman Quillen, "Man, he took it all away. And that Holy Spirit came into my heart." And so, Lehman Quillen has entered in boldly his entrance into glory. And he has experienced that victory in Jesus. So I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and they're going to play "Victory in Jesus," and we're going to sing it, and we're going to go ahead and let it go out over the recording so that folks can hear it. And so let's all stand in honor of our brother. Let's sing Victory in Jesus.
Amen.